vers libre poetry, she had come to Greenwich Village to seek her fortune, and had found it, first crack out of the box. At a studio party in MacDougall Alley, she had met and fascinated Clifton Bessemer, the pulp paper magnate, and in almost no time at all, had become his wife. Widowed, owing to Clifton Bessemer trying to drive his car one night through a truck instead of round it, and 2 years later meeting in Paris and marrying the millionaire sportsman and big game hunter A.B. Spotsworth, she was almost immediately widowed again. It was a confusion of ideas between him and one of the lions he was hunting in Kenya that had caused A.B. Spotsworth to make the obituary column. He thought the lion was dead, and the lion thought it wasn't. The result being that when he placed his foot on the animal's neck, preparatory to being photographed by Captain Bigger, the white hunter accompanying the expedition, a rather unpleasant brawl ensued, and owing to Captain Bigger having to drop the camera and spend several vital moments looking about for his rifle, his bullet, though unerring, had come too late to be of practical assistance. There was nothing to be done but pick up the pieces and transfer the millionaire sportsman's vast fortune to his widow, adding it to the 16 million or so which she had inherited from Clifton Bessemer. Such, then, was Mrs. Spotsworth, a woman with a soul and about $42 million in the old oak chest. And to clear up such minor points as may require elucidation, she was on her way to Roaster Abbey, where she was to be the guest of the 9th Earl of Roaster, and had stopped off at the Goose and Gherkin because she wanted to stretch her legs and air her Pekingese dog, Pomona. She was reading a book of spiritualistic interest because she had recently become an enthusiastic devotee of psychical research. She was wearing a Jacques Fath sports costume because she liked Jacques Fath sports costumes. And she was drinking gin and tonic because it was one of those warm evenings when a gin and tonic just hits the spot. The waiter returned with the elixir and went on where he had left off. 33-1 the price was, madam. Mrs. Spotsworth raised her lustrous eyes.
I beg your pardon?
Well, that's what she started at.
To whom do you refer?
Oh, this filly I was speaking of, that's won the Oaks.
Oh, back to her, are we?
Said Mrs. Spotsworth with a sigh. She had been reading about some interesting manifestations from the spirit world, and this earthy stuff jarred upon her. You're not fond of racing, madam?
Mrs. Spotsworth considered. Well, not particularly. My first husband used to be crazy about it, but it always seemed to me so unspiritual. Not at all the sort of thing to develop a person's higher self. I'd bet a grand now and then just for the fun of it, but that's as far as I would go. It never touched the deeps in me.
A grand, madam?
$1,000.
Cool, said the waiter. That's what I call putting your shirt on. Though for me, it'd be not only my shirt, but my stockings and panty girdle as well. Lucky for the bookies you weren't at Epsom today, backing Whistler's mother.
He moved off,
and Mrs. Spotsworth resumed her book. For perhaps 10 minutes after that, nothing of major importance happened in the coffee room of the Goose and Gherkin, except that the waiter killed a fly with his napkin, and Mrs. Spotsworth finished her gin and tonic. Then the door was flung open by a powerful hand, and a tough, square, chunky, weather-beaten-looking man in the middle 40s strode in. He had keen blue eyes, a very red face, a round head inclined to baldness, and one of those small bristly moustaches which abound in such profusion in the outposts of empire. One recalls the nostalgic words of the poet Kipling when he sang, "Put me somewhere east of Suez, where the best is like the worst, where there ain't no Ten Commandments, and a man can raise a small, bristly moustache." It was probably this moustache that gave the newcomer the exotic look he had. You felt, eyeing him, that his natural setting was Black Mike's bar in Pago Pago, where he would be the life and soul of the party, though, of course, most of the time he would be out on safari, getting rough with such fauna as happened to come his way.